This is A Closer Look. It's 1:36. I'm Rose Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare. And Dennis, you know, on any given day, especially the weekends, you can find people walking, biking, and jogging down the Atlanta Beltline. And it's been an award-winning urban design project that has fundamentally changed parts of the city of Atlanta, including how we have developments. But a little over 15 years ago, the entire project was just an idea laid out in Ryan Gravel's Georgia Tech thesis, which he just told us he has locked away in a lockbox. And he joins A Closer Look now as he begins another venture. Ryan, thanks for coming in and taking the time.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks, Dennis, for having me.
Good to have you.
Yeah, the Beltline, I mean, obviously we know it's a reality now. It's changed over the years. How has your relationship with the project changed? And what are you really still involved?
Yeah, I'm very much involved still, and yeah, it's been quite an adventure, quite a journey. Not a smooth ride all along the way, but certainly rewarding. You know, I started out as a thesis project, but in the early days was just a volunteer for many years, and then I went to work for. We created a nonprofit and worked in nonprofit advocacy for the project for a couple of years, and then worked at City Hall for a while, and been back in private practice now for about 8 years. So it's been fun to have different kinds of relationships with the project. I've always lived around it in the communities along the way. And so I use it quite a lot. I'm also on the board of the Atlanta Beltline Partnership, mm-hmm. which is the nonprofit partner.
And Ryan, the current, I guess, model of the Beltline now, is that pretty much still in line with your original thesis that you presented?
Yeah, you know, the project, the original thesis was just a kernel of an idea. And over the years, over the last 15 years, the idea has continued to expand and grow to much more than we ever imagined it would be in the beginning. And because the community really embraced it in the beginning, they sort of claimed it and made it their own. And they started adding new layers of ideas to this project, which is probably one of the most rewarding and exciting parts of it. So it's much more than I ever imagined. But that core of an idea is still very much there.
Yeah, it's become not just something about transportation. It's right. been kind of a community center. Also, it's attracted art and business.
Right.
Some folks just use it to hang out on a nice day.
Right.
Were there any of those new ideas that you mentioned earlier mm-hmm. that surprised you the most?
Wow. I don't know if I've ever had that question exactly. I mean, I think the breadth of those ideas is really what, and the community's claim of it and their sort of willingness to sort of fight for it. You know, we always imagined in the beginning, in the early days, that the Beltline was connecting all these parks along existing city parks like Piedmont Park and Grant Park and the cultural destinations along the way, the Martin Luther King Jr. Historic District, the Jimmy Carter Library, Botanical Gardens. When the Trust for Public Land came in and said, why don't we, you know, that's cute that you guys want to connect 700 acres of parks. What about 1,400 acres of new parks? That's a really dramatic change in the vision, and it brought in a whole new constituency in support of the project, a whole new life to the thing, and has really been an important part of the project.
Did you ever envision it as though something that would either build or revitalize communities, which is part of what it's become?
Oh, yeah. The original idea is actually starts with communities, and it's about building the kind of places that we want to live. And so in school, I was very interested in the role of infrastructure and the way that it changes our lives and the relationship we have in our lives. And so the original idea is that we would build this new infrastructure that would support the revitalization of communities along the way, would spur on the redevelopment of all that abandoned industrial land along the way. That was the core idea.
Well, Ryan, as you know, you mentioned these different communities. You know, there's been a lot of concern, though, about within the different communities about gentrification
right.
as a side effect of the Beltline. But in your original thesis, did you sort of have concerns about that? Each community is different, as you know, the West mm-hmm. Side, East Side,
right.
and different parts of the 22-mile loop. Was that a factor for you when you started crafting this out?
Well, I think it's important to remember that, you know, the thesis, it was never imagined that we would actually build
sure.
it. That was not part of the idea.
Sure.
But when we built our grassroots movement starting in the summer 2001, the movement that actually made this whole thing possible, it was being made by the community of all the communities around the Beltline. It wasn't just the more affluent ones. It was also the folks with lower incomes. And they wanted, they loved it as much as everybody else. They just wanted to be around when it got built. And so, you know, looking ahead as the project gets implemented, it's important, I think, and a lot of people, that we make sure that people can stay. And those are real challenges.
Well, that real challenge comes into play with affordable housing. It comes into play with, you know, market value, because when you have all this great green space, and you have something like the Beltline that's attached to a certain neighborhood, you know, developers come in, they're building condos or apartments, you can get top dollar for that.
Right.
So are you closely monitoring and making sure you all, as part of this whole process, making sure that there will be affordable housing for everyone at different, you know, income levels here?
Sure. I mean, I can't speak exactly to the efforts by the Atlanta Bell and Inc. and their efforts. What I can say is that because these communities were at the table in the beginning, it obligated our efforts to include them in its vision. And that's why you see 15% of the tax allocation district going to affordable housing and a commitment to 5,200 units as it gets built out. Now, that's a drop in the bucket relative to the need.
Sure.
And I think that that's important to acknowledge and recognize. But, you know, we have some challenges with policy along the around these lines. But what the Beltline does do is it creates a table at which we are coming and talking about these ideas that I think maybe otherwise not wouldn't be talked about at this level.
One of the other concerns is that after the success of the initial phase of the Beltline on the east side, then, okay, which communities get it next? And there have been concerns that, oh, okay, certain neighborhoods are being built up or attended to before others. How do you address, as you go through the different phases, making sure that there isn't, say, giving into economic pressure, let's say, to develop this area first?
Right. Well, again, I mean, there's a whole entire implementation plan on the Beltline website, and I'm not part of those decisions necessarily. I'll say that the from the beginning, because of this grassroots coalition, again, we had a commitment to equitable development of the Beltline, and you can see it's really important that the West Side Trail broke ground last fall. That's really significant. These communities have been made a lot of promises over the years, and here, this is the first one really following through. As we look at what the impacts are going to be, it's also important to say that the a lot of the East Side Trail success is built on generations of investment, not just the Beltline. And so when we start looking at what the success looks like on the West Side, it's not going to look like that immediately. You know, the changes are going to be different. The communities are different. The opportunities are different. And so, you know, we have to sort of manage expectations around that.
You just used the phrase I was about to go to, managing expectations, because there is going to be a temptation in one community. If they look at what's happened on the east side and say, wow, that's great. All we have to do is get it going, and the same thing will happen here.
Right.
How do you manage those expectations?
That's a good question. We come on the air and we talk to you and Rose about it. you know, I don't think most people who actually live in the communities on the Beltline, they don't expect that they're going to look like the East Side immediately, you know, and nor do they necessarily want to. You know, every community is different. They have their own opportunities. They want the Beltline to be framed and shaped in the way that reflects them. The East Side is special for lots of ways, but the West Side and the South Side, North Side for different reasons. And I think as the project gets built out, you'll see that. At the end of the day, the Beltline is a very narrow piece of land. It's the relationship of what happens along it in the communities that really gives it life, and that's what makes the city come to life. So the Beltline plays a role in that for sure. But as these communities change, I think you'll see them reflected.
And a major point in your thesis, though, Ryan, was about the necessity of connecting transportation to all of this now. And I think we're hearing reports now that there's some talk about the streetcar somehow being involved with the Beltline, because right now it only goes 2 miles. And some people say, well, listen, I can walk faster from one end to the other. Yeah. But are you monitoring that, too, just from a personal standpoint in terms of, you know, making sure that there is transportation, some type of transportation network connects to the Beltline?
It's important that we do invest in transit. I mean, for me, obviously, but in our early days, the momentum was really around transit. Communities saw growth coming. They wanted to manage that growth. And, you know, the East Side is a good example. You see, it looks built out now, but there's a lifetime of more development happening on the East Side. When all that comes, we have to have transit to manage that growth. So, you know, I think one of the new evolutions of the transit component of the Beltline is that it is seen now as not just the loop route, but also part of a network of new streetcar routes laid over downtown and midtown. And I think that's strategic and important for lots of reasons.
You know, Ryan, over the years, we've seen the different leadership come in and out of the Beltline. And obviously, you're not speaking for them. But with that much turnover and sort of a, you know, rotating door of people coming in and out, does that concern you at all about making sure this project has continued leadership in the right direction in terms of the vision here?
What I'll say is most important to me is that the community continues to own it. In the early days, it was easy for the community to own it because it was something very that people were really involved with, going to meetings and writing letter campaigns and talking to their representatives. Now that it's being built, there's an agency to build it and all this stuff is happening, people are a little sitting back on their laurels a little bit, letting all of that happen. But I think it's important that we continue to claim that ownership, that we continue to be vigilant and make sure that that what is getting built is being built with our best interest in mind. And issues like equity and affordability are a really key and important part of that.
I want to take you back to your student days at the time you're writing that thesis. Now you look at where it is. Mm-hmm. You had to, at some point, let it go.
Yeah.
And how difficult was that? And how difficult is it to keep from jumping up and down if you see something that isn't exactly what you intended?
Right. I got used to it a long time ago. It was actually after about a year of our grassroots campaign way back in like 2003, I was at a meeting of the Atlanta Regional Commission. Kathy Willard, who was our leader champion at that time, she was sending out an email saying, everybody go to this meeting, advocate for the project on the transportation list.
She was city council president.
City council president, yeah. And she was leading the effort. And so I had gone to make a public comment on the record. I was standing nervously there trying to prepare myself. And I was standing behind these two women, and they were talking about our project. Our project does this. Our project connects all these communities. And I had no idea who they were. And that was the moment that I realized that the public's ownership and claim of ownership of this project, that wasn't my project, it wasn't Kathy's project, it was the community's project. And the power of that politically to actually implement and obligate political leadership to build it was really important. So yeah, I get frustrated by things here and there, but in the grand scheme of things, it's most important that we're actually doing it.
So let's look at other places. I mean, we're not just talking about the city of Atlanta here. There are so many communities around the metro area that are looking at the Beltline and looking at walkable, rideable urban development and saying, how can we do that? Mm-hmm. Are there places where with your Georgia Tech eyes that you could say, well, they may not be able to do something exactly like the Beltline because there were unique assets that you had.
Right.
But where are some places that might be able to do something like that, where the experience and, if you will, the ground that's already been plowed by the Beltline could work?
That's a great question. I mean, the specific proposals, we could talk about for a long time. I think I've always talked about the Beltline. It's not just the physical changes in the city. It's that they're changing the way that people think about Atlanta and what their expectations are. And, I live on Crog Street now, and people from Cherokee and Rockdale and everywhere else are parking on the street. They're dropping off their kids and their strollers, and they're just spending the day on the city, and they're changing the way they view the city, and they're going home with ideas about their own community. And that's true regionally. It's also true nationally and globally. People are watching what we're doing here. I was in Singapore back in March. They know more about the Beltline than a lot of people here do.
Do you see any places, though, right around here where if you were doing a thesis now, you might be able to put a similar idea together? Any places in Metro Atlanta?
I look at it more like the relationship between infrastructure and the way we live. So it's not so much finding an old railroad, although they do exist. It's about rethinking that. So you think about regional transportation systems, I think we could absolutely come up with that.
You mentioned Kathy Woodard as being one of the more instrumental in helping in getting this. There are so many people involved now.
Right.
And this goes beyond just your thesis project. I mean, this has really taken off to be a more important value to the city.
Oh, sure.
Moving forward, though, you've sort of launched something very interesting now. You're sort of venturing off into this. Tell us about Six Pitch.
Six Pitch, yeah. It's just a vehicle for me to go out on my own and do some consulting for different projects, both for the Beltline, hopefully, either officially on the Beltline or some of the things that are happening along the Beltline. Other cities, I'm researching 30 or 40 projects across the country and around the world that are similar projects to the Beltline. There's opportunities to work on those projects. I'm also writing a book and doing other things. So it just gives me some flexibility too. Sure. It's coming out in March. It's called Where We Want to Live. Mm-hmm. And it's about that relationship between infrastructure and our way of life. It's a narrative. It's a story. It tells the story of the Beltline in the process. But it connects it to all these other projects, ideas about the future of cities. It's a lot of fun. I've learned a lot about myself, actually, in the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's been a catharsis for you?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
We've been speaking with Ryan Gravel. He was a young Georgia Tech student back in the day, and he had a thesis, and now we're getting the Beltline. Let me ask you this. When you walk around the Beltline, and is there a little bit of part of you that says, you know what? Yeah. You don't have to answer that, Ryan.
I feel lucky to be a part of it, honestly. It's been amazing.
Thanks so much for being with
us.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.